Welcome to your Spiritual Besties podcast. I'm Lauren Ledoux.
And I'm Rashida McCoy. We're here to laugh, cry, learn, and connect with you.
We discuss anything and everything from our everyday lives to the magical, mystical, and woo-woo.
So take a deep breath, grab a cup of tea,
and set an intention to receive, because you deserve it, bestie.
Hola, Rashida. Bien, ¿y tú?
Bien, gracias.
Aprendo español, pero muy mal.
Well, for our besties who probably don't know a lick of Spanish as well, Lauren just said she studied Spanish, but she's really bad.
Yeah, well, I'm learning Spanish currently.
Oh, you are learning.
Yeah, I studied in high school, which was a long time ago. But after we were in Costa Rica, I was like, you know, I want to be able to be conversational with people in Spanish. You know, it's not something that will ever be wasted, especially living in the US.
There's so many
Spanish speakers, and so I'm doing Babbel right now and just starting really slow. But usually I'll do Babbel, and Gemma watches Dora the Explorer, and we do our Spanish. But just for our besties listening, I don't think we mentioned this in our episode about Costa Rica, but Rashida's fluent in Spanish, and I had no idea.
Not fluent. I'm passing pretty well. If you would listen to me, you would probably think I was like an 11 or 12 year old, the way my grammar is set up.
Well,
but
I can
speak.
Yeah. For me, I'm like a 2 year old. So 11 or 12 is pretty impressive. It was just one of those things, like, I've known you for a while now, and all of a sudden you're speaking Spanish to somebody, and I'm like, what?
Just whip it out, you know, just like put it out there. I actually went to school for Spanish. I did Spanish from 10th grade on up. No, sorry, 9th grade on up. I also went to school to minor in Spanish as I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do while I was in college. So I had that a couple times. And I don't know. I was born in Panama. Spanish was one of the first languages, along with English, that I was introduced to. And there's just something about it. There's something that just calls me home about the language, and I just love it. So I actually am planning on teaching a class coming up in this new school year, so I can continue to work with it myself, because there's no one really here around that speaks Spanish that I know here in my town. So I'm excited.
Well, that's really cool. I feel like in my city, I run into Spanish speakers all the time. There's like a pretty large Mexican population, not just Mexican, but like South American. And so, yeah, it would be cool to at least get on your level, and then we can talk in Spanish with each other.
Yes, I'm ready.
So I digress. We have a guest with us today, and I'm really excited about this conversation. I got to be on her podcast recently, and I'm like, you need to come on ours and tell us everything you know, because it's a really interesting and cool subject. So I'm going to introduce to you Leslie Draffen. And Leslie is a somatic psychedelic guide and sensual embodiment coach focused on helping women embrace their bodies, sex, and psychedelics. She supports conscious women and menstruators who want to heal themselves and connect more deeply with the divine through intentional microdosing, womb reconnection, pleasure activation, and cyclical living. Leslie believes sacred earth medicine has the power to bring us home to ourselves, awaken our authenticity, and heal the trauma locked within our subconscious. Welcome, Leslie. Welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So, Leslie, we start with the exact same question with everybody. So, we'd love to know, what is spirituality to you?
I think for me, spirituality is what really feels like it connects me to the divine. It's the way that I walk through life. My biggest spiritual practice is my menstrual cycle at this moment. And really for me, it's just a way that I can navigate the world as it is, right? Like, the world is wild. And spirituality for me just helps me remember that I am made in God's image and she is a bad bitch like me.
I love that. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And I love the idea of the menstrual cycle as a spiritual practice, because it's something that, you know, most people who have one are taught to loathe, really. And it feels like something that's really, that can hold us back from our lives, not just like menstruating itself, but the entire cycle and, you know, showing up differently every day. And for listeners really interested in getting like into the nitty gritty of that, we have a great episode on cyclical living with Alyssa Lilly from a couple of months ago. But Leslie, I'd love to know just more of your story. How did this become your spiritual practice and your offering? Start wherever you'd like.
Yeah. So, you know, I am a former TV news anchor turned somatic psychedelic guide. And I think that what really feels important to talk about is just the fact that, you know, I spent so much of my 20s and my early life numbing out and punishing myself through an eating disorder, through alcohol abuse. And when I was 18, I was diagnosed with herpes as a preacher's daughter in the deep south of the United States. And I really just sank into this shame spiral that left me feeling really worthless and dirty. And so, again, I sank really deeply into that eating disorder and that alcohol abuse. But the other thing that I did was became addicted to hustling and grinding and achieving, trying to prove outwardly that all of this success had to, you know, make people love me. So I became that news anchor. I was really good at my job. And from the outside looking in for so many years, you know, I looked like I had it all and that I had it all together. But really, I felt so stuck. I was anxious. I was depressed. I spent thousands of dollars on therapy and learning all of these spiritual and mindfulness practices, and nothing really clicked until early 2022 when I found psychedelic medicine. At this point, I was already in tune with my cycle, but what psychedelics did for me were really help me to overcome those mental challenges, find my soul's true purpose, and get sober, heal my body image, and then put me on this path to help other women just like me remember who they are. Maybe those who feel burnt out or just like sick of their shit, help them figure out how to actually move through their trauma, love their body, and create the life of their dreams.
You put that so succinctly. It feels like you've really had some practice telling your story, which is a really beautiful thing, because I think when a lot of us are going through these hard times, they don't really make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And we're not always able to like put our finger on what's happening and then put all the puzzle pieces together to see what kind of picture they make. So mm-hmm. it's so nice to be able to like in hindsight kind of look back and tell that story and weave these difficult things together into something that's beautiful and that makes sense. I'd love to go back to this like first introduction to psychedelics. What happened? What was it like? How were you introduced to them?
You know, I had experienced psychedelics recreationally a couple of times before I started to work with them intentionally, but I was in my 30s the first time I tried psychedelics, because, you know, I was raised very much post-Reagan era, war on drugs, DARE. I love to say that I like won a DARE t-shirt decorating contest in third grade about like how bad drugs were for you, and now look at me. So I was really nervous to start experimenting with this medicine. And all it really took for me to like shift that idea was hearing a woman on a podcast talk about the benefits, and her name was Bijou Finney. I immediately had her on my show, and the second we hung up the call, I was like, let me just hire you because I need this. And microdosing just felt so beautiful and so compassionate and loving. And then when I did intentional full dose journeys, like a full trip, because I'd had such wonderful support from Bijou as a coach, it was like the most loving mother energy ever to sit with and commune with multiple grams of mushrooms. So I had such a nice entryway. I certainly have had challenging trips and challenging experiences, but in the beginning, like it just worked so well. The biggest thing I really had to grapple with was my own self-limiting beliefs and like that programming that this was bad and that what I was doing was going to get me into trouble.
That is so, it's so interesting because it is so opposite than like my introduction to psychedelics, which was just like recreational with friends in my like late teens, early 20s, and, you know, knowing nothing about dosing, just like taking whatever somebody handed me, basically. Although I will say, like, I never really had a bad experience on them either, but I did find that it would really vary depending on the people that I was with, and everyone had really different reactions to them. I always had a good time. I think I went in really in like setting an intention that I was going to have a good time, you know? And it really brought out like different qualities in everybody. So it definitely was always a trip for sure. But I did try microdosing for the first time, I think 2 years ago. I was going through a period of just feeling a little bit like creatively locked up, and like I couldn't access my higher chakras or something like that as well. And somebody that I knew recommended them to me, and I gave them a try, and I definitely had sort of a varying experience with them too. So I can definitely see why having a guide or a coach would be an ideal way to go into this, because it's not, I know we joke around and say they're drugs and stuff, and they are, right? But they're medicine, and you don't just take medicine randomly without like the recommendation of a doctor, right? Like, I'm not going to just take whatever dose of antibiotics I throw into my hand. Like, it's going to be whatever is prescribed. So I'd love to know, like, what does this coaching relationship look like?
You know, it looks a lot like therapy, but just with psychedelics. You know, it's very much the way that I work with it, because I'm a somatic psychedelic guide. It's very much about helping you get in touch with your body and the sensations within your body. And as psychedelics open your subconscious and bring to light some things that might be in the shadows, which can be pretty painful, remembering to continue anchoring into that felt sense and this flesh that we're here in, to help us move through what is coming up. And so I work with people usually long-term, so about 8 sessions over 4 months. And in sessions, they'll come having already ingested their mushrooms, and we will maybe meditate. Usually we'll do some type of a visioning journey where for 20 minutes, we'll like with a sleep mask on, we'll talk about what's coming up for them. And then I'll kind of guide them through things so that maybe images or messages come up. And for me, the biggest thing though is helping them find an intention to work with this practice that feels good in their body and also feels, you know, a little edgy, one that's going to help them really go into that next phase of life, feeling supported. But what I love most, I think, about psychedelic medicine and the way that it works when we're healing trauma is that it really gives us this sovereignty and this empowered way of looking at our healing journey. Whereas most other forms of medicine, pharmaceutical drugs that you would be given, like an SSRI or an antidepressant, you take this pill, you eventually start to feel better, and it's masking your symptoms without really getting to the root of what's causing those problems a lot of the time. And psychedelic medicine is the complete opposite. You know, it really starts to shine a light on things that aren't working in your life. And so when guided by someone like myself, it can be really helpful as either an add-on to traditional therapy or the next step when therapy is not working anymore for you. And I have really found a lot of my clients come to me because they're fed up with therapy or they think they're too broken for therapy, when in reality, we really know that talking about trauma isn't how you're going to heal it. And psychedelics and somatics really can be that next tool to progress that healing journey.
Rashida? So Rashida had to hop off for a second and she's back on. So I don't want to completely take over this conversation with questions.
No, thank you for being flexible. You know, internet sometimes is funny, but I wanted to share my first experience as well. I also was Leslie, I think you said you were in your 30s, correct, mm-hmm. when you first came to this? I was as well. I was kind of like scared initially because I didn't know what to expect. I've experimented with other things before, but my first experience was beautiful. I think it wasn't in a coaching setting. I didn't even know that was a thing. So I wish I would have, but it was me and some friends here at my home. We had an amazing dinner to kind of like set the tone and decided to take it all together and go outside and hang out for a little while. And when I tell you the like the peace and just connectedness I felt to not only the earth, but to them, it just was really, really powerful. And in that moment, I was able to kind of like see like the true, for me, it felt like the true masculine and feminine energies, because the males in the setting, they were very like still and stoic and just like not wanting to move. However, the females, we were very flowy. We were very in our element. And it felt so good to like to see that they were both the same and not the same. We were very much in our elements, but not, and we're the same. It just felt really, really good. And so I knew for me, setting the tone was the most important thing. And I would love to actually explore, like Leslie, what you were talking about more, because I think it is such a powerful medicine to really dive deep into who we are, to really ask those questions and see what it is that's coming up for us in a controlled way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think what's interesting is both you and Lauren, you know, explained setting, right? Like set and setting are such buzzwords around what happens in the psychedelics field. And setting is where you choose to ingest medicine. And you did it with friends, and Lauren was doing it with friends, and that worked out pretty well because you were with people that you, I'm sure, loved. And then set is usually the mindset, right? And again, both of your examples really just amplify the fact that being in that positive mindset is really essential for having successful experiences with the medicine. And I think that's another reason why having someone to support you can be really important, because sometimes you don't go into these things with the right set or setting. Like, I have taken psychedelics at music festivals, certainly not the right setting, I would think now in retrospect, but it ended up being okay. And so that's just really fascinating. But like when we talk about what you were saying, Rashida, that diving deeper and really starting to look at what's within us. You know, I like to say that psychedelics open the door to our subconscious and then hold our hand as we walk through, because they're not this magic pill. Sure, microdoses mm-hmm. usually come in a little capsule form, which is like a little pill, but it's not this magic, you know, thing that's going to suddenly heal you. You are the one who has to do the work. And that's why I was saying it really empowers us to take, you know, our own, you know, sovereign action within our healing journey. But what I have found is, and it's kind of hard to explain to folks who may not, you know, have experienced psychedelic medicine before, but what I have found is that when working with this medicine, mushrooms specifically, because I work almost exclusively with magic mushrooms, they seem to really help us get above our problems, get above what's happening to us, and allow us to like almost look down and connect the dots in a responsive way versus reactivity. And then over time, as we continue working with this medicine, because at a microdose, it's important to note, it really layers on after dose versus a high dose journey may just blast you into the cosmos. Microdosing really is like a layered compounding effect. Over time, when you, again, have all of those experiences where you're able to look at what's happening and meet it with responsive love versus reactivity, you can start to see changes in your life. Sometimes they look really subtle, and sometimes they look huge. Like, I was able to get sober for the first time long term. I've been sober for like 15 months now. That was a huge shift for me that happened slowly by little bit. But I guess that's sort of one of the reasons it's so impactful and one of the ways you're able to start looking at what's underneath, if that answers your question.
Yeah. I have a question, another question on top of that. So when you have someone that might first start wanting to work with this medicine, would you suggest only starting off as a microdose, or having that introductory, maybe like a higher dose to kind of like jumpstart the journey? Like, what does that look like?
That's such a good question. I think that both can be perfect, and it really is whatever's up to that. It's up to that individual. And I really think it's up to what the medicine guides them to do. So from my experience and the way that I worked with medicine, I microdosed for about 6 weeks, and then I did a full dose journey. And then I microdosed afterwards to continue integrating what happened in that full dose experience. And that seems to really be, for a lot of people, an excellent way to start working with medicine in a way that feels safe and slow. And then when you've had a few weeks of noticing those beautiful benefits that are coming to your life, like more resonance, more patience, more presence, then sitting with the medicine at a lower high dose, right? So we're talking maybe 2 to 2.5, 3 grams, not something huge like a Harrow's dose, which can be 5 to 7 grams. That's still going to put you into an experience that is hallucinogenic, that is intoxicating, that is, you know, probably going to help you meet the cosmos in some way, shape, or form. But what I found is it's a really lovely introduction to what a full dose journey looks like without usually being too heavy, too long, and too intense. And then afterwards, continuing to sit with microdoses so that you can look back at what happened in that full dose journey and again with your intention and really integrate everything coming up. So I think both of those things can be true. Maybe you start microdosing and then you do a full dose. And again, I've had folks who come to me having done several full doses and now they want a microdose. And I also have had people do full dose journeys with other types of psychedelic medicines like ayahuasca, for example, or MDMA, and then microdose in order to integrate what happened in those full dose experiences.
Yeah, I feel like there's just so much. And when it comes to this, it's like the intuition, your intuition is key. But I also see the need of having like a guide. Because honestly, for me, my introduction to anything has always been through a friend who's like, oh yeah, let's just do this. Let's just, you know, it's very casual. And I think that's where some might say, quote unquote, drugs are bad. It's just because we're messing with things we don't know. Mm-hmm. And having that guide or that coach to really say, this is what can happen. This is how you're going to be held. This is what you can expect from this. Whereas anyone's experience is different. Like even mine, like we all took the same number of mushrooms, but our body composition's different. You know, the mushrooms weren't all uniformly the same. And so I can see why having that guide would really create more security and safety in exploring this. And also the need, I know a lot of people think, well, you don't need this to like kind of go in. And no, I don't think we all do. But when you are dealing with a lot of conditioning, having that little, like, I like to call it a little jump start to kind of like take you away from like the walls that you've built up, actually looking internally is amazing. But thank you for sharing that. This has changed my perspective on, you know, using psychedelics for sure.
Well, and I'd love to just say really quickly something that you brought up, a couple of things. You know, I think that intentionality, like you said, is so essential, especially when you want this to be something that helps with healing. There are plenty of people, and I'm not against recreational mushroom use at all. I think that recreationally, people can be intentional about that too, you know, and not have that be something that they're wanting to actively dive into a healing experience. I myself have sat with mushrooms several times at more of like a meso dose, which is a bit higher than a microdose, but nothing like a full dose, when I'm going to parties or when I'm at big family gatherings. Last Thanksgiving, super triggering day. I wanted to be sober all day, which that was like the day I used to always drink was Thanksgiving. And so I ate a little mushrooms. So it's like there are certainly ways that it can feel recreational, but also be intentional. And I love also what you mentioned about the fact that you guys had all seemingly eaten the same, but dosing for psychedelic mushrooms is really interesting and very rarely has much to do with what your body composition is, but more so has to do with what your sensitivity levels are to things like caffeine or light and sound, your experience in the past with medicine. And like you said, the caps versus a stem in a mushroom, Like they can have different psilocybin content. One mushroom to the next can have a different type of level. So yeah, it's tricky. And again, it's why, like you said, like a guide can be really important. But I also think that it's just interesting when intuitive, intentional people sit with this, even like what you were saying with friends, like, I love that for you. I thought that was great.
Thank you. And you know, that makes so much sense. We had someone who started to get really, the effects started hitting them a lot faster. And we were like, oh, well, it's because he's smaller. And you're saying like, not really. He could have probably had mushrooms that just had more psilocybin in them.
Could have.
Right? Yeah. And I don't know. I think Lauren and I, we talk about this often. Intention to anything in our lives is really key. It's really like that biggest stepping stone. And so often I feel like we go through our lives unintentionally. We're just like, we're here, we're living, we're doing the thing, all the things that they say we're supposed to be doing, listening to whomever is telling us what to do, but really sitting with ourselves, really having that intention and being open, I think, to the experience and what you're going to be shown as well, because I had no idea what to expect in my first trip. I had none. And I was beautifully, pleasantly surprised. And I think if I had a different, like you said, mindset, it would have been different. If I had held on to that fear, it would have been probably mm-hmm. different.
Definitely.
I love what you're saying. I would like to, in a minute, just go into like microdosing. What is a microdose? What to expect out of microdosing? And I also wanted to echo what you're saying, Rashida, about intention. That's such an important part of it, I think. And on top of that, and I'm sure, Leslie, you can speak more to this, but integration is so important because
yes,
she's talking about these like cosmic experiences that can happen, right? And I did experience that many times, like when I was younger, and it was great for me because I needed to have that window into this like different view of spirituality than what I had grown up with, and it was a really beautiful introduction into that. But I've also seen people really fall into the trap of like really only having these experiences with the divine while they're on drugs, and then they don't know how to integrate it into their everyday lives. For me, really like diving into my yoga studies was the way that I was able to like, you know, make it a more grounded experience mm-hmm. for me. And I do like the idea of microdosing on top of that or integrated within that, you know, to get a little bit different experience or to get different insights. Yeah, that I'm just going off on my experience, but it is really cool. Like I'll say that kind of one of my biggest insights, which sounds so simple, but it's just like, okay, what is now? What is now? And you realize that like everything is now. Like,
everything is now.
All that exists is now. And it's one thing to say that, and it's definitely a different thing to like really truly feel and experience that. And that was really important to me. So that being said, Leslie, let's get into like microdosing. What is it? What is a microdose? What are the effects? And does it provide something that is, I think, sustainable, right? Mm-hmm. Over a long period of time. Whereas you're not going to macrodose every day. That's, you can't live that way.
Please don't. Yeah, absolutely. So a microdose is when you take a tiny, tiny amount of a psychedelic compound. And in this case, we'll just say we're going to talk about psilocybin or magic mushrooms. And so this is not intoxicating. It isn't going to make you hallucinate. You can still go about your everyday life. And that's why it's so sustainable, because you can still parent, you can still drive, you can still work, you can still do everything you would be doing normally. You've just ingested a tiny amount of psychedelics. So when I'm talking about the dose, it does, again, like we said with Rashida's experience, it does vary for each individual, but usually the amount is somewhere between 0.05 grams to 0.5 grams. So that's 50 milligrams to 500 milligrams. 500 milligrams is a bit high for a microdose, but again, I do have some folks who have very high tolerance, and they're using 350 to 500 milligrams pretty regularly and still not experiencing anything like brighter colors or anything that would be more indicative of like a higher dose where the walls are breathing and like colors have sounds, that kind of fun stuff. So a microdose is really, I like to say something that, again, is non-intoxicating. There is a word in the microdosing realm called sub-perceptual, but I think when you're an incredibly intentional person, you can perceive that something is slightly different within you when you're microdosing. And usually it's your feelings of more focus, more groundedness, more presence and love. I usually can feel my heart just like open a little bit. Emotions flow more freely. I'm not someone who cries very often, and it's something that I'm working on. But you know, I will just like see someone on the street. Like I had this whole experience, like seeing a homeless man, and I'm like, oh my God, everything is broken inside me because of this person. Like how much empathy I could have for that person. And I had microdosed that morning. Some folks explain that, it feels like they've had a cup of coffee. And some people say it feels like maybe they had a glass of wine. So it can be different based on where you are in your cycle, what your intention is around it. But the benefits I've seen are things like more patience. I've worked with countless moms who say that microdosing has made them so much more patient with their kids, so much more able to like get on their kids' level and understand where they're coming from, especially little kids. Other benefits like amplifying your mindfulness practices, helping your, you know, life come into more balance, getting sober as a personal experience, and several clients who've gotten sober. And then there's other things like more creativity, more ability to focus at work, just happier moods, feeling more elevated overall. And from what I've noticed with the people I work with around their cycle and microdosing, less period pain, fewer mood swings, and overall easier periods.
I really love that. And I want to like come back to how that works together with our cycle. But what I want to know is when someone first starts microdosing, and this is actually really a personal question as well, because I decided to start, but I never, I don't do it anymore because I didn't notice anything after 10 days. I didn't notice a change. And it wasn't like every day I'm waking up and I'm like, oh, what's changed today? You know, but just sitting with myself and how I felt and, you know, maybe where I was before I took it, I just didn't see, feel, notice a difference. And so I stopped. So when do you, would you say like you should notice a difference and maybe like the elevation of mood or patience or anything like that? When you start microdosing, and maybe now after you were talking, maybe it's because I maybe needed a higher microdose. And I don't even remember how many micrograms it was either. It's been so long ago because mine was really around, I'm just trying to have, I have patience with my children, but adding my second one in, it's just been a little bit harder, you know, and I wanted a little bit of support with that. And I just didn't notice that. And it, not even that, but just anything after the 10 days that I did it.
All right. So a couple of things. What's important to know about microdosing, which we sort of hinted at before, is that this is a compounding effect. And so for beginner microdosers, I think you need 3 or 4 months microdosing. But you're not doing it every day, right? That's really important to know. When you're microdosing, you have what's called a protocol. And again, we can talk about the one I created around the cycle, but there are several others that are pretty easy to find out about, but you could also just microdose 3 days a week, right? But you want to stick with it for several weeks. Again, like I said, 3 to 4 months, especially if it's your first time microdosing, so that you have enough time to notice what's happening within you. You have enough time to figure out your dose because it's very likely that your dose just wasn't quite right. It can take a while to get that dialed in.
Okay.
And then the other thing is, you know, how soon can people see things? I've seen people have experiences where they've noticed things in a week. And most of the time, though, it's clients around week six.
Okay.
Yep. So sitting with medicine by that point, if I'm doing math in my head really quickly, 18 to 20 times. At that point, microdosing about that many times over that length of time. Generally, the 6 to 7 week mark is when they'll come to me and they'll have an aha.
That makes sense. And you know, again, having that guide, having that coach, knowing that there's a protocol, knowing that there's these different things, and there's so much, like I tried doing it, you know, looking up things online. Obviously, that wasn't the best thing to do. So yeah, knowing that, and that makes a lot of sense. My mindset with medicine, any medicine, whether it's good or bad for us, right, is I'm not just going to take something if I don't see a benefit. And that was my intention. Like, I'm just not going to do this just to do this. Let me just stop and look at something else. Mm-hmm. But knowing that there is a protocol, knowing that this one standardized dose isn't the end all be all. You know, you read things and you're like, oh, microdosing, you're going to have this effect and it'll help with this. It doesn't always say, you know, results may take 6 to 7 weeks or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And I know just based off of like our society, we're always looking for things now. I know that that's not the case with this, but I also didn't know like, hey, you're just not like taking this and communing with this medicine in the correct way. And that might be why you're not feeling any difference or giving it enough time. So
go ahead.
Appreciate that. No, I just wanted to thank her for like breaking that down.
Yeah. I don't want to make this like a personal coaching session, but I kind of am. What do you mention that? I'm like, now I want to ask about me.
Go for it.
Like I said, I tried it. And again, I'm really interested in the protocol with the menstrual cycle because I've tried like every other day protocol and I've tried 4 days on, 3 days off. And these are all for extended periods of time. So I've tried it a couple times for extended periods of time. I've kind of had the opposite reaction to Rashida in that like I feel it like almost right away when I take it. And it's not, it will like kind of chill out for me after a few days of the protocol, but it's a little too strong for me. Not in that I'm not like seeing any visuals. It's not like I can't drive or anything, but it, I feel anxiety actually. Yep. So I feel less grounded than I usually do, when I've taken it and not always, but a lot of times. And then I've also noticed external factors that can really make that worse for me. So like, you know, I can't have more than like a half cup of coffee or something like that in the morning with it. And like, if it's hot out, especially if I'm like being active in the heat, it really like amps my anxiety up. So yeah. I'd be interested to know a little bit more about my experience. And I'm just wondering if I need like a micro dose, whatever that is.
you definitely could. And I think what you mentioned are some really important things to notice for folks where you may just notice you're taking too much. I explain it like it's spiciness in the body. Mm-hmm. Like my body feels like everything is like inside. It's like I've just had too much spiciness. And I just can't do what I need to do. Like I've ingested it and then maybe gone to the gym and I'm like, nope, walk in. I'm like, absolutely not. Like everything just feels fuzzy in there. But what can really happen, I think what you mentioned are a couple of really interesting things. Caffeine and psilocybin, I usually do not recommend folks drink caffeine and then microdose. If you're going to do microdosing, maybe switch to a decaf. Coffee seems to, for some people, interact in strange ways. Like I think that and this is just my experience and my belief on this, that there's so little research around it. But I think that when we ingest caffeine, it is very much like a head space situation. And then microdosing is often like hitting that heart space. And so I feel like they conflict when I have both together. And usually caffeine will cancel out my microdose. Mm-hmm. So like, maybe I'll still feel it, but it won't be as opening. It won't be as loving. It won't be the same as on a day when I have, you know, microdosed first thing in the morning without eating or drinking anything, spent an hour or two in my, you know, ceremonies, and then eaten something. The heat, like you noticed, like that's such an interesting thing because, again, I think that that's really signaling that you're really sensitive to microdosing, especially at where you are in your life. You have a little one. Like when we're at times in our life where life is activating, microdosing can activate the hell out of us. And things like caffeine and heat, so activating. So that's just really interesting, right? To take note. And, you know, something I wanted to say again about like, how do we begin to notice these things? That's also why it's so important to take good notes. Like, you want to be a little explorer when you start a microdosing protocol, because without that data, you're not going to start to see these shifts happening, because they can be very small and very subtle. But you're also not going to remember the things that you were saying, Lauren, like, oh, like, I really don't feel like I can even tolerate caffeine right now. This heat is really making me feel so anxious. I feel so ungrounded. Like, those are all amazing data points to be tracking to really help you get the most out of a microdosing practice.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So thanks for validating my experience, because I was like, does this medicine just not work for me? Because it did sometimes, but yeah, I would always hear about this like sub-perception. I'm like, well, that is not my experience. This isn't a sub-perception for me. Like, I'm not tripping balls, but I'm, you know, I definitely feel it. Different. Yeah. But I am like, just look at me. Like, I'm sensitive. It's just like, I have red hair, pale skin, you know, and then internally, you know, my inner experience is of sensitivity too. And like you said, sensitivity to light, to sounds, like that's all me too. So it makes sense to like really be chill mm-hmm. about it. Which early 20s me would be like, ha, I can take anything I want. But also I wasn't a person who was thriving at that time. So
Well, yeah. Leslie, I'd love to know what your protocol is around our cycle and how we as femmes can, you know, take this medicine and I guess sync it up or link it up to our own internal phases. This is very interesting.
Well, you know, when I first started work as a coach, I was a menstrual cycle coach. So when I started to work with psychedelics, my aha moment in a microdose was this thing in my journal that was like, microdosing and menstrual cycle ? And then like a year later, I come back to it and I'm like, oh shit, like I had this intuitive hit a year ago. And so what I did is I looked at this hypothesis that I made that microdosing was going to be more effective for people with periods than possibly everybody else because of a couple of key things. One, we are more likely to have cyclical pain. Two, we experience things like burnout, anxiety, depression, PTSD at a higher rate than those in male bodies. And we also often have more issues with happiness and mood. And all of those three things are things we are seeing psilocybin help with. The pain, mostly because they're thinking that it has some anti-inflammatory properties. Mood, again, because it really helps us to get more present. And we can talk about the neuroscience in a little bit if you want to. But the same with the anxiety and depression. Like, it's really working at this neurological level to help us move through some things that might be challenges. So there are some really popular protocols out there, all of course created by men. And so what I looked at is, if we look at the cycle overall and we know that it impacts our life in everything we do, then of course it's going to impact our microdosing, and our microdosing will impact our cycle. So I split the cycle in half. And if you guys, again, like you have that wonderful episode with Alyssa, who is a good friend of mine, I'm sure they're talking about inner seasons, right? Inner seasons we're talking. Okay. So inner spring and inner summer, the week after your bleed stops through ovulation, would be the first half of your cycle. And in that half, we often see fewer cyclical challenges. So you would basically sit with medicine twice a week for those 2 weeks. You could also say you're going to do 1 day on, 2 days off, but twice a week is what we would sit with. And then after ovulation, when your inner fall kicks in, you would start to sit with medicine up to 5 times a week, 3 days on, 2 days off, or again, picking 5 days, at least taking 2 days off per 7 day period. And you would stick with that through your bleed. And so I usually like folks to do that for 3 cycles. And see what happens. I created a cyclical microdosing like tracker that people can get in one of my free like free offers that we can put in the show notes. But what I noticed was really usually around cycle number 2, pain is less. Things like mood swings right before the bleed are way down. And overall, you're just feeling happier. And I loved that for people. Like, they would come to me and they would just be like, I don't feel as bitchy. I don't feel as activated. I don't feel as crappy as I did a month ago. But what's interesting too is I have found that people who want to live in alignment with their cycle often, just by starting to live cyclically, we'll see all of those things decrease too. And so I think psychedelic medicine just amplifies the impacts of a cyclical lifestyle for those who have bleeds. And what I love about this protocol itself, the fact that you've got 2 weeks where you're just sitting with medicine twice a week, and then 2 weeks where you're sitting with it five times a week, you have a lot of time in those 2 weeks where you're usually amplified mood, your energy is higher. If you've got a good inner spring, I'm someone with a very long inner spring, so I have like a tricky relationship with it as a PCOSer. But you have a lot of time in those 2 weeks to really integrate what happened the previous 2 weeks, right? And that's really, again, what Lauren was saying before. What's so essential about what we're doing here is looking back, looking at the messages that have come up for you, looking at the beliefs that you suddenly are more aware of, looking at maybe the trauma that has come to light. And it's an unpopular opinion among some folks, but I do believe that microdosing on the bleed can be incredibly powerful. I like to microdose when I bleed. My former coach did not. And I have other people that I've spoken with who don't either. And so there's a lot of room for intuitive guidance and flexibility in my cyclical microdosing method, but that's generally the gist of it. We're sitting with medicine more often in the second half of the cycle when our cyclical challenges are elevated, and we're relaxing how many times we sit with medicine in that first half when things are often a bit more stable and elevated and you're feeling good.
That is so helpful. And I love this approach. I'll be honest, like, I didn't even think about this when it came to microdosing, but it makes total sense. And like you said, male created protocols are what many of us are following. But why would we do that if our physiology is different on a, you know, day-to-day basis over the month? So yeah, I really appreciate that. And I like that you're providing this really, strong container. Like, yes, there's room for intuition and fluidity within it, but I think that's such a part of integration in general. Like, I'm such a huge advocate, I think, now, and I'm realizing it more and more, for discipline when it comes to spirituality. Mm-hmm. Because we can have these big, beautiful experiences, but what do they amount to if they aren't making positive change in our everyday life? And, you know, there's medicine in the discipline itself. So yeah, I love how you've laid this out. And it's very cool that you're giving this away for free as well.
Oh yeah. I want everyone to do it.
Yeah. We'll link to it so people can know where to find it. I'm like, for where do I find it right now?
Yes. I'm currently working on a 5-day mini course delivered via email, which hopefully will be out by the time this podcast is available. But if not, I have a one sheet that I can send you with the explainer on how to do this, because right, like, we're not gatekeeping this. Like, this is basically, I want more people to try it so that I get more data, because so far it's about 97 to 98% effective. And I would love to know on a grander scale what menstruators are experiencing when it comes to microdosing, because let's be honest, we don't want to study people who have periods anyway in the science aspect, because we're just so variable. But we also don't like studying microdosing. Like, to be honest, the few studies we have on microdosing seem to show it's barely better than a placebo effect. But everyone I've spoken to who microdoses knows that that's just not true. So yeah, I think that it's really up to us to be, you know, the little explorers to figure out if it works for us or if it doesn't. And I'm also one that's like, if you're not, like, if you don't want to track your cycle that hard, but you want to begin to work with the medicine, that's when 3 days a week works really well. Stick with that.
Yeah, I actually was going to ask a question, because I'm super blessed. I did have PCOS, they told me, when I was younger, and that'd be hard for me to have kids and all the things that they tell all of us, like they read it out of a book or something. But I never really had like issues really bad, not until I got the Mirena, and then I started having the cramps and all the things, and said, what the heck did I do to my body? Because I wanted to like not have to worry about a period, because I was in that, you know, period sucks type of mentality. But it was like, it didn't. Like, I literally bleed for 3 days and I'm done. And I didn't have any pain or anything like that. So for those of us who aren't really dealing with those type of like issues, would you say that this is still a really good protocol to follow? Maybe to like help us get more in touch with our cyclical side, or what do you think? Because I know a lot of times we speak from like a, this can help your problem, right. But you know, for those who like, I'm cool, but how else can this help me?
Yep. So I think that I'm also someone who does not have a very difficult cycle. I'm so blessed like you. My cycle's long. It's usually 31 to 35 days, but that's, and there will be some trickiness in my inner spring because it's so much longer than normal. And I just get so tired by ovulation. But I really think that this might even be better for people who aren't seeking out cyclical microdosing to fix something. Right. The benefits I've seen with pain, like the people who come to me, that's not their primary issue. Yeah, they'll have cramps for a day or two, but that's not why they're here. They want to connect more deeply with themselves. And they see that by connecting with the cycle and psychedelics, it really helps to level out and fill out what can become a really intentional life, especially for those with bleeds. So I think that from what I've experienced, yes, 100%. This is fantastic for people who want to live more in tune with their natural cycles, who want to understand the language of their womb. This is beautiful for those folks because what it's going to do is probably give you better periods without you doing much to change it. And even more on top of that, it's going to amplify whatever your intention is, be it to really sink into your spiritual practice, to heal your body image, to get sober, you know, whatever that may be. So yeah, great question. And I think that that's for me what's been the hardest part about messaging this, because the benefits to the period came second to everything else. Like yeah. The connection to self was so like number one. And then I was like, wait, I haven't had cramps in like 4 months. Oh, my clients haven't either. Wait a second. Something's happening. This is working. So yeah, thank you for asking that question.
Yeah, no, for sure. I know like a lot of times when we're taught to like market ourselves and do different things, we have to speak to like someone's pain point, right? And so often like I find myself, well, that's not me. I'm interested, but you know, I don't fit in that box that that person is speaking to. So I really appreciate you saying that because I feel like there are a lot of us who just want to, like you say, be little explorers. We just want to see how it changes us, you know, and elevates us and grows us and like help us really sink in internally and align with our cycles. So amazing. I have all the things. I'm like, okay, document from Leslie, maybe mini course, link Alyssa's podcast, like. This is amazing.
Yeah. I'd love to, before we get into like ways to work with you and anything else you want to share, you know, I just want to be upfront about like, you know, psilocybin is illegal, you know, federally for sure. It's legal like in some cities and states in the US. And you're not here to like sell it to us or tell us where to get it. But do you see that as like a big obstacle to most people who would like to work with this medicine that just grows from the earth naturally, I'll add?
Right. What I have seen is that we're most definitely in a third psychedelic renaissance. And so people come to me without really needing to know where to get it. It's becoming more and more mainstream. There are companies operating legally in some states that have legalized or decriminalized it. And then, of course, it's gray for sure if you're like going across state lines. But honestly, you know, millions of people are self-medicating with this medicine. Thankfully, even in very conservative states, we're seeing millions and millions of dollars put forward for studying how this is impacting specifically mental health and especially in veterans. And so in some of the groups that I'm in and some of the trainings I've been in and some of the folks I've spoken to, we're thinking that MDMA may be legalized federally by the end of the year for treatment of some of these things, mental health wise. Now, that's not like we can get it. You'd have to get it from a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully mushrooms are going to be right behind it, 3 to 5, maybe 3 to 7 years. And I would love to see it at least decriminalized federally because let's be honest, psilocybin is probably one of the safest things you can put in your body. It is not addictive and it can help with addiction. And I also want to be very clear. that just because it's really safe overall, it doesn't necessarily mean it's for everybody. There are people out there that I would not recommend experiment with this. People with certain heart issues on certain medications. And now this is a tricky, because some recent studies have kind of shown the opposite. But in general, we really like to take note if you've had a history, either personal or immediate family, of schizophrenia or bipolar 1. Because those are very expansive mental health conditions, and psilocybin is a very expansive psychedelic, which is why it's really helpful for anxiety and depression, which are very contracting mental health conditions. So just know, you know, if you're listening to this and you have questions maybe about your own personal history or about anything we've talked about, I give free one-on-one discovery calls to anybody who is interested in coaching. And I have a free how to microdose guide that answers a lot of these questions, including your main ones about safe sourcing that you can get for free.
Well, I love that you're providing that, because that would be one of the benefits of legalization is just really knowing like if it is for you or not.
Right.
So having coaches, you know, pre-legalization seems really important. I had a friend who tried and she was on an SSRI and didn't know that it was going to conflict, and you know, it wasn't a good thing. So I'm glad to know, you know, the information is out there for anyone who, you know, for anyone who is interested. But I just want to say for anyone, like, whether it's medicine, whether it's a practice, you know, do your research before you just jump into anything, because I don't think there's one protocol spiritually or physically that is universal. We're all individual beings. So it's really important in the intentionality piece to like to do that. Do your due diligence first.
Yeah. And there are two books I'd love to recommend as well. And maybe we can put links in the show notes too. But one is by a woman named Jen Chesick, who I had on my podcast. I'm going to look around my room. I think the full title is The Psilocybin Handbook for Women, Jen's. And then Michelle Janikin wrote one, which is like a companion guide to psilocybin mushrooms. And both of these people have journalism backgrounds. And so, of course, as a former journalist, I love the way that they wrote. It is so easy to understand. And each of those books are like my Bible. So highly recommend those for your beginner research. Because like you said, you have to you have to do your due diligence. You have to understand. And I also think that you need to feel the call to this medicine, right? Like, and this mushroom conversation could be your call. Just like I heard about it on a podcast and I felt the call. So you don't have to have like this like awakened, you don't have to like wake up from your dream and your vulva is just like you don't have to have some like wild thing, right? Happen. You can hear somebody talking about it. And if you do listen to this podcast and then like you keep seeing mushrooms or you keep hearing people talk about it, like that could be a sign. But you don't have to have some like huge awakening where you're just like out of a dream, you see yourself in a mushroom field and like, sure, maybe. And also it could be a lot more subtle than that.
Yeah. That sounds like something out of like a, I don't know, a TV show or something where like somebody takes mushrooms and it's all cartoons.
Well, like in my mushroom, like my first full dose intentional journey, like those things happened. And I was like, oh, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And this was long before I ever considered going through training and certifications and months of supervision. Like this was me in this exact room on my birthday, communing with mushrooms, like sitting at the feet of the goddess, and like the mushrooms were there. So there are so many ways that you can feel called to it. But yeah, I would love to say just one other thing about the SSRI comment, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's really fascinating, some new studies and new information we're looking at in terms of SSRI and SNRI, because what we originally thought, the reason we thought that it was a contraindication to work with psilocybin and those types of medications were because of the way that serotonin was interacting. And I've seen some things recently that suggest that it's not going to be as big of an issue as we once thought. We're looking, the worry was something called like serotonin overload. But what often does happen, and I've had clients experience this, is long-term SSRI or SNRI use can often make psilocybin less potent. So you would take more and more and more in order to feel the effects. I sat with someone in ceremony last year, and they had been on medicine for a really long time, these SSRIs and ate 5 grams of mushrooms and felt very little because of how long they'd been on those other medicines. Right. And 5 grams of mushrooms is a lot, guys. Like that's a hero dose. But they didn't feel a lot. So just know, I'm seeing a lot of people taper off, of course, with the help of doctors. And again, I really think that in the next 3 to 7 years, we're going to see mushrooms. And unfortunately, it will be a synthesized version, which will not be as potent as those that grow from the ground, but that's what the pharmaceutical drug companies can make money off of. So of course, that's what's going to be legalized. That will be, I believe, a major medication at that point. It'll come from psilocybin, I think.
Would you suggest I don't know, when I think of us having to like synthesize things that naturally grow in the ground, like I'm immediately off put by that.
Yeah.
I mean, what is your opinion? Like,
I get why they did it and I get why they're doing it because of the fact that they need some type, like we said, stems versus caps on a mushroom, one mushroom to the next, the psilocybin content is going to be different. So when they have these studies, they want to synthesize something so that there is like that constant. And so they'll use synthesized versions of psilocybe, which is what or psilocin, which is what it becomes in our body. But there was just something out like 2 days ago about how they did a study and it's like the things that you're giving the psilocin, this like synthesized psilocybin is not as potent as what grows from the ground. And everyone's like, no shit.
Yeah. But do you also think like, cause I think back to like my first time and how connected I felt to Mother Earth and all the things, like, do you personally think that that messes with that? Like,
You know, from what I've read and the people that I've talked to who are running studies, it does seem like they are doing a lot to try and bring in that spiritual aspect to help at least people connect with the oneness. Because that's the thing here, right? Like the psilocybin and mushrooms work so well to connect us with oneness. I think because the mycelium network, which runs with underneath the ground, does so much to connect everything in this earth. And they are doing a lot to do that. But do I think it's going to be different than what we are seeing citizen scientist-wise, which is you and all of us? 100%, 100%. But I think what we can know is just like everything they're finding in these studies, I think it's just even better in real life. Like, I think that like that's just, you know, there's a whole group of folks who need Western medicine to approve this. You know, people in my family included, they need it to legalize it in order for them to be okay with it. And I'm like, all right, fine. If that's what you need, great. I know that what's going to happen when you work with it intentionally and with the actual source of the medicine, that full mushroom, it's probably going to be even more potent for you. It's going to be even more impactful. But it's like whatever we have to do at this point to convince the powers that be to like lay off on criminalizing nature. Like, give me a fucking break. Like,
yeah.
And the truth of the matter is, and again, like this is what I was saying when I had to do a bunch of inner work around like being wrong, like doing the bad thing. The only reason this is not legal is because of the fact that we'd be so ungovernable if we were all open because we were eating mushrooms all the time. Like, let's be honest. Like, that's why your government doesn't really care about you. It doesn't worry that you're going to fall off a 5-story building when you're tripping shrooms. It worries that after you come down,
it can't control.
And you integrate,
yeah.
You're going to question why we're at war. You're going to question what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's like, and look at when we started to make it illegal that after Vietnam, like,
There's a reason.
Mm. Yeah.
I so wish we could continue this conversation, but I know we could go on and on and on because this is just so deep and so true and just the repercussions of everything that's happening and where we're trying to go and, you know, the world and the new paradigm that we all talk about. Like, this is very much a part of that. And you, like, you really nailed some points on that. But again, I digress. Leslie, how can people get in touch with you? Where can they find you? And also, are you just working with femmes or are you working with everybody?
I am only working with people who are AFAB, so born in female bodies, at this moment. I may expand into couples at some point, but at this point, heterosexual couples. But at this point, that's who I feel called to work with. So you can find me. I think the easiest way would be to download my free guide, Activate Your Inner Magic, a beginner's guide to intentional microdosing. It's a 36-page ebook. It includes a meditation that you can download, and new and improved, you can actually edit it yourself online. So you can print it or you can edit it online. That would be a really great introduction for you. And again, it answers some of the top questions. And then if you're listening to this and you're like, hell yes, I'm in, I would love to invite you to book a free call with me. We can talk about first if you're a good candidate for this medicine. And then we'll look at what's making you feel really stuck right now, how working with this sacred medicine could help shift your life. And we'll meet each other to figure out if we together would be a good team. And if we're not, I have some amazing friends who I can send you to, because I understand that that's like a really sacred thing to find someone to work with this. And if I'm not it, then let me show you some other folks who might be your cup of tea.
Amazing.
Yeah. What are your podcast, what's your socials?
Yep.
My podcast is The Light Within. And yes, Lauren was a guest. Well, Sheeta, we'll have to come get you to come be a guest too.
Yes.
And you know what? Here's the thing. I recently had my Instagram account suspended very briefly, but your girl is trying to move off of Instagram. So for now, until I decide what I'm going to do, you can find me at Leslie Draffen. But the email list, which you'll get on if you download my free guide, is probably where we're going to start doing more juicy content, probably moving to YouTube. But it's just tricky out there, right? Like censorship, they don't want to talk about the things I want to talk about, sex, psychedelics, periods. Like the hate I've gotten for talking about periods. Like, come on. So download the free guide, book a call if you'd like, get on the email list. And yeah, Instagram, it's fun for me. It has some really fun content, but I'm just not secure in the fact that it'll always be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Leslie, for being open and talking to us and like giving Lauren and I little mini coaching sessions within this time, because it definitely has helped us. And I know and will also help others who are listening who are meant to hear this conversation. We actually have one more question for you. Will you be our bestie?
Yes, of course. I was waiting. Like, yes. Yes, absolutely.
Amazing. Well, besties, I really hope that if this conversation called to you, you reach out to Leslie. This, again, I've worked with this medicine one time and it has created some huge and major shifts. I'm looking to now, after this conversation, dip my toe back in. But please, please, please reach out to Leslie. Leslie, you are such a beautiful soul, very open. Thank you for not gatekeeping anything, being open with this conversation and this medicine. It's truly, truly impactful. And thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
All right, besties, we will talk soon. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible episode. If you loved it, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your besties about us.
You can also connect with us on Instagram at Your Spiritual Besties Podcast. And be sure to say hello and share your thoughts about the episode. Love you, bestie. Talk soon.